Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Nefertiti Gold.
Hey,
how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. I was blown away by some of your songwriting skills, some of your music skills little Chamber 43 here. And I go, wow, this person is really unbelievable.
Thanks.
Your songs are sexual sometimes. They're really funny.
Yeah.
When did you start knowing that you had this talent for music?
I've always had a desire since I was really, really young.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I couldn't really explore it when I was younger, simply because my family couldn't afford like the music lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much just had to wait until I was old enough to like chase it myself, because I'd be able to pay for it myself.
What was the instrument that was in your head?
I know I did like a couple piano classes when I was super, super young, as part of like the, you know, like summer programs they like sign up for that they send in the mail and stuff. But that was like short-lived because my grandmother would be the one to take me, but she's from Haiti and she goes back and forth. So when she flew out to Haiti, I didn't have anybody else to take me to my lessons. So that was cut really short. But I've always remembered like the beginner stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years,
like the notes ABC, do re
mi, like super basic stuff, but I never had the opportunity to actually really practice and dive into it more and learn more when I was younger.
So then what age, because now you're playing guitar. Mm-hmm. Now I see you, what instruments do you play? How'd you start to learn?
I mostly started as like self-teaching. When I was like 16 and I was like working at a supermarket, I would like buy like a bullshit guitar off of like eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Back when like eBay was just super, I guess, big for whatever reason. And I would just like learn online until that guitar broke, and then I had to wait until I could save up enough money for at least a decent guitar. And then I went back to the internet, and then at some point I went on like Craigslist and like looked for guitar teachers and like voice teachers, and it just kind of went from there. So I go back and forth between either an actual instructor or online lessons.
Mm-hmm. And where are you from? Jersey?
Yeah.
So what neighborhood you grow up?
We originally lived in Irvington when I was really, really young, and then my father passed, and then we moved to Roselle. And then right around high school, moved to Piscataway and been there ever since.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You said the other day we were trying to plan this and you had an audition come up. What mm-hmm. what kind of auditions you have? Like for music? Like
It was for music. It was like for a super major like television network that I technically can't really talk about because I signed a lot of legal paperwork.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they will sue me.
Right.
But, like, that didn't...
Like a contest type of show? One of these ones?
Yeah, but I can't be specific about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't really pan out, so that was kind of a letdown.
All right.
Yeah.
You had to go all the way into New York City?
Yeah. The whole spiel.
On the train. So, you were giving out a CD the other day. Like, do you have you cut a whole album?
Yeah.
How many songs you got out there?
I have an EP that I dropped last summer. It's called It Would Have All Been Different, and there are 8 tracks on there.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's your plan? Are you, what's your goal? What's your plan? Where are we at?
Well, right now, I've just kind of decided to go a little bit back to the basics as of lately. So I've been stocking up on every musical lesson possible. So I've gone back to taking piano lessons, guitar lessons, and voice lessons, and just doing more and more shows. So I'm just kind of just...
Now, are these instructors coming from Craigslist, like old school?
No, I've tried, but like a lot of them I find to be really unresponsive. So I've just been Googling like local music schools in the area. So that's how I've been able to find the instructors that I'm with now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But for a while, you were saying you were going on Craigslist, finding instructors. Did you have any creepy instructors from Craigslist?
No, not at all.
Good ones?
All of them. Every single instructor that I've come across that had a Craigslist ad was legit. I think my current voice teacher, who I found... Well, I'm not working with him right now. He's on tour with Chance. So, they're all legit.
Hey, you got some people.
Yeah.
It's like you're a boxer. You got your coach for strength and conditioning. Yeah. You got your wind sprint one. Then mm-hmm. you got the flexibility guy. You yeah. got these people in your corner, and they're mm-hmm. shaping you.
Yeah.
Did you go to college, or is this how you got all your training?
I did go to school. I was mostly a business major, but I minored in voice, and I went to Kane.
Did you finish?
I did finish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at you. And is that helping you, like, the business? Because, like, business for me, like, I'm so shit at it. Like, yeah. I was trying to get a feature spot here at Chamber 43, and me and Dina got in a Facebook argument, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying, about the content of my jokes being okay. filthy. And I was like, man, you know, you can't tell me what the fuck to do. Like, I'm, like, such a piece of shit. You yeah. know what I mean? How are you with business? Do you handle business with your business degree? Like, what did you learn at school that helps you in your career now?
I mean, I feel like I've always kind of had, like, a natural knack for, I guess, management and just kind of, you know, keeping my, keeping the brand in check. So, as far as, like, the business side of it, I feel like I've been handling it extremely well. Like, any email that I've gotten, you usually will get, like, a response within, like, 12 to 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
What
do you mean by keeping the brand in check? What does that mean? That sounds like an all-encompassing lifestyle.
It is an all-encompassing lifestyle. There are certain things that I don't do. Like, certain arguments, like on Facebook, I will not engage in, because at the end of the day, it's going to reflect on the business and a brand, and you never know who's watching, you know?
Yeah. I'm such a dick.
Yeah.
Well, it was mostly because it's like, you know, the history stand-up is like, look at Lenny Bruce. Like, mm-hmm. He got arrested when he said some shit he wasn't supposed to.
I mean, Richard Pryor,
too. Richard Pryor. It's like, mm-hmm. I feel still, if I'm not living this argument, if mm-hmm. I'm not willing to have this argument,
yeah.
then what am I doing stand-up?
True.
That's part of the cross that you got to bear. You got to mm-hmm. go, I understand you think this is a safe space, but... it's got to be safe for me also to say some weird shit. Like, yeah. when I'm trying new jokes, it's like, I literally don't know if they're good or not. Yeah. They might all bomb.
That's the whole point of the, yeah. you know, just trying them out at open mics. And
yeah.
Sometimes you miss, you know, sometimes it hits.
And so, I think I'd been getting away with it because I have some old jokes that I know are really good, but they're filthy. And mm-hmm. so they would get laughs, but be disgusting. The one time I'm disgusting and get no laughs, that's what Dean is like, what in the fuck yeah. is wrong with you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's cute when you get laughs. When you don't get laughs, you look like
mm-hmm.
a very bad person who should be locked up. You know what I mean? But I don't know. But your songs are wide-ranging in topic. They're mostly about love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is there a relationship that you went through where you learned a lot of things about love, you get broken up with, or what is...
I go through a series of just mostly situationships, if anything.
Situationship?
Yeah, they're just situationships, because I think at some point it feels like a relationship, but then relationship things don't happen. Like, that lack of a high level of actual commitment is just kind of like, it's inconsistent. So it's just a series of, like, situationships and bits and pieces of it that I just pull from. And, like, honestly, if I didn't have the music as my outlet, I really don't know what I'd do.
How you'd cope with...
Yeah. Because, like, I've been in...
The loss.
Yeah, like, I've been in positions where, like, emotionally, I could understand why a woman would really take a bat to somebody's car.
Oh, my God.
Like, I felt that rage, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like...
Like, you're dating somebody, you're putting all your eggs... Oh, my God, I'm going to see Brad at this picnic, you know? God, you know, I got to work at the grocery store, but Brad, the picnic, Tuesday at 4 p.m., that my whole life is going to take... Then you get a text that morning. Oh, hey, yeah, this is Brad. Yeah, I can't do the picnic because I'm sick or some bullshit.
Yeah.
You go on the gram, making out with other people.
Yeah.
Devastating.
Yeah. So it's like... I get it, and it's like...
Yeah, yeah.
I had the outlet to just, instead of you know, going to jail or anything like that, or going to court over things. I just write about it.
Yeah. But you go deep. You cut hard. I could tell, like, I could feel your the love pain in your songs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it, you, also, I'm sorry. Did I misinterpret? Do you, maybe this is a misinterpretation of lyrics, but are you bisexual or no?
No.
Oh, okay. So maybe, do you ever switch genders for a song, or say she instead of he, or this or that, or?
I've switched how I'm speaking, yeah, if that makes sense. Because, like, I'm speaking from a different perspective.
Right, right. You're speaking from the guy's perspective or the girl's perspective?
I'm speaking from the guy's perspective.
Okay, that's
I know what song you're talking about. I speak from the guy's perspective, and then towards the end, I switch.
Right, right.
Perspective as, like, the audience perspective.
So I took that as, this was one guy I was seeing, and then now I'm seeing this girl.
Nah.
Okay, I got it.
It was always coming from, like, the guy's perspective, and then at the end, it's the audience speaking to the girl.
Okay, gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I hear you. Man, I'd have to, like, read these lyrics out. Okay, this is a switch.
It's one of those songs where I've really kind of, I feel like I've fine-tuned my songwriting to a point where, like, it forces you to want to listen to it over and over and over again to try and figure out, like, what the hell is happening.
Dude, just from joke writing, that's all I think about, and whatever writing, you know, like, your writing skills are out of control. That's why you're so good. I mean, your singing and your craft is all great, but the writing is what I really, like, gets me, got me crazy about your music ability and Your writing really draws me in. You, like, tell a story. You paint a whole picture of the rage that you have over this scenario. And, like, that's what my fire burns hot, too, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've been cheated. Like, I think my last 3 girlfriends all cheated on me. So it's just, like, you're, like,
you're just an angry man, aren't you?
But I feel your pain where it's like, what the fuck? Where you know what I mean? Like, what? How is this possible that I have this kind of luck, you know?
Yeah.
I only want love and happiness, and now I gotta deal with all this bullshit. Like, I really feel your pain. I feel your songs. They're really good.
Thank you.
I guess, is it one person? Or you say it's relationship situations.
Yeah, how situationships.
Many situationships. Yeah. So, how many are we drawn on? Now, what's, like, the longest situationship you've been in?
That would have to have been when I was, like, young and still in college. Maybe that was, like, 4 years? No. The thing is with situationships, they're not long. There's just multiple of them.
Right,
relationships tend to be, like, actually long.
Right, right.
So, like, I feel like at this point in my life, I still haven't really been in any form of a healthy relationship. Just a series of situationships.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the longest one I feel like was probably for like a year and a half-ish.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe like a year and a half-ish, no more than that. But like I think the last situationship I was in felt the longest. And that was only like 6 months out of my life.
Yeah.
But it felt way longer than that, the other one that actually is longer.
Were you more into the 6 month one than the year one? Did it fizzle out longer so it felt like, oh, I can't wait till this is over?
The roller coaster was more intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Like the ups and downs, they were just like, they were way more extreme.
Was his personality volatile?
He wasn't volatile. He was just like, just gaslit a lot of situations. And I guess he would say things and then at some point would act like he never said it and just kind of like pretend like it didn't exist or something didn't happen or something he did. He flipped it on me and would say like somehow that it was my fault.
Right.
Yeah.
See,
so like it was just emotionally probably the most unhealthiest thing.
It was like he was manipulating you.
Yeah.
Was he more of like a narcissist and you're more of a codependent? Is that ring any bells? So like a codependent, is someone who receives pleasure. They release dopamine in the brain from helping other people.
Yeah.
Now a narcissist, they receive dopamine from everything to do with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
When they eat a sandwich, I'm fucking killing it.
Yeah.
When they get money from somebody else, oh, I'm fucking killing it.
Yeah.
It's not, they don't really receive pleasure. If they give somebody a sandwich, it doesn't register.
Yeah. I mean, I really couldn't even tell you what the case was. I think it was just coming from me really not, I guess, respecting what I actually deserve.
Right, right.
You know?
So you were letting yourself get manipulated.
Yeah,
for...
I feel like at that point it was just me just kind of like hoping that it would get better, but it just never really did.
Yeah.
It would just look or felt like it did, but I knew that it wasn't.
So what were those markers where he would say, would he use the word girlfriend?
Yeah, every once in a while, but it would only be when he needed something.
Mm.
Yeah.
So he knew that that was what you wanted.
Yeah.
He knew that was your buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then would he cancel, like, make plans, like, oh, we're going to do this and this and this, and then none of it happened, that kind of stuff?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Has it gone? Is it like a drug where you're like constantly chasing this love feeling? You know what I mean? Like,
I think everyone's on that drug.
Hell yeah!
Because like once you have like a taste of it, whether it's good or bad, you're gonna always want it in some way, shape, or form. I mean, sometimes some people go through phases of life where they just kind of abstain from it because it's like, the highs of it isn't worth the lows, the possible lows of it.
Right.
So I mean, at the end of the day, we're all like human, and that is the one emotion that makes us the most human. So we're all chasing it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've taken a little bit of a break because I had a series of them, and now I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's intense. It's a lot.
Something's obviously wrong with me where I'm choosing these garbage hoes, you know
garbage
what I mean?
Hose.
Like, something's wrong with me where it's like, I'm like you, where I put in a lot of work. I'm like, you know, I got a car, so like for me, it's nothing. Like, oh, you need rides to work? That's nothing for me. And then it's like, when I then after a while, I'm like, oh, I've done this and this and this and this and this for this person, and then this person didn't even take my call that time. Like, you know what I mean? So you're just like, you can't even lie to yourself anymore about how it's actually going. Like, when you make an objective report card for your relationship, you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What am I getting out of this fucking shit?
That's true.
With this piece of shit person. Are you dating anybody now? Are you taking a break? Or are you on Tinder? Are you on the apps? What's going on?
I'm having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some situations are arising.
They are situationships, but they're the ones that I'm initiating.
Mm-hmm.
So the perspective is a little different. It's different when you know that, like, if nothing comes of this, I'm okay with it.
Right.
Because it's like, I have a lot of options to choose from. So I'm feeling it right now.
All right.
Having a lot of fun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you're leaning into... You're like, maybe I don't have to think that everyone's like, that I start dating is going to be my husband.
Yeah.
Maybe let me tune it to where a relationship can just be whatever, whatever.
Like,
and then I don't put the pressure on it.
Definitely.
Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, because at a point where like everyone that I am interested, I'm genuinely interested in, but it's like, if you're not interested in me, then it's just like, damn, I guess I'll just choose one out of the other four
right.
to like spend time with.
And is it from shows and music and being in band? Like, you're a one-lady band, I don't see it. But do you collaborate with other people?
Not often. I want to, but sometimes, like, the collaborations don't really come forth. Because I think a lot of people don't think I fit into the music that they might want to create. I've done, like, features for, like, rappers and stuff, but then it's just, like, that never really pans out into anything serious because they're not serious. Or I'll get like messages, but like nothing ever really pans from it because I kind of sometimes I get the vibe that like everybody kind of expects me to put in most of the work of like organizing like the whole thing. Just like if you approach me, I kind of expect you to
you mean the recording session or
just
the
like
writing session,
the whole collaboration
right,
portion
right.
of it. Because I think they kind of see what I've been doing and how I'm, like, I guess, consistent with it. And if they say, like, hey, let's work, then it's just kind of like they're waiting for me to make all the moves versus it
right,
being,
right.
like,
right,
an
right.
even split.
just like those relationships with you've mm-hmm. been in. Like, yeah. I'm not going to make all the moves from now on. I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm not dragging your your friggin' deadbeat ass around.
Yeah.
To make music for you, motherfucker. You don't know what I'm bringing to the table. Oh, you scheduled a recording session at this studio? That's mm-hmm. it. All right, maybe I'll show up to that shit.
And plus, I can be really blunt in a music making process, too. I don't think, I think some people aren't really prepared for, like, my certain level of honesty.
Yeah.
Because my ex, in which I was referring to earlier, he was a rapper. And I would work with him in the studio, and I would have him redo his takes a million times. And I would make him break down the verse and only punch in certain parts. Like, I'm very particular. Like,
in right, it's got to go with the music.
It's got to go with the music, and it's just like, for me, like, a lot of the times I can hear the potential, and it's like, if you're not living up to it, I'm gonna make you do it over again. Mm-hmm. Or I'm gonna say, like, I like the verse, I like what you're trying to get at, but, like, the songwriting isn't good, you should mm-hmm. rewrite that in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, sometimes people take that personally, but it's not meant to be personal. It's just like it's just that I know it can be better and you can be better, so I'm gonna try and make you better if possible.
I love how you're talking. I used to, I got my master in screenwriting, and then from the University of New Orleans.
That
and
is
then
amazing.
I moved back to LA. I was in this group called Deadline Junkies. It's a screenwriting group in Los Angeles.
That is so fire.
And they have a team of actors, and then they read 30 pages, mm-hmm. and then you give notes. And then I basically went away to New Orleans, got my degree, came back, went mm-hmm. to the same exact screenwriting group. But they kicked me out.
Yeah.
Because I would go, this has good characters, this has good, this. It doesn't have a plot. What are you talking about? 30 pages? A unicorn's opening presents? Well, I mean, I don't know what I'm... You're going to really send this to somebody? Like, I would be like, what?
Yeah.
But it's like, if the thing was shit, it's like, we can't... This isn't a focus group or a support group for hack writers.
Yeah.
Are we training like we're going to, like a boxer trying to knock a motherfucker out?
I think the basis for any piece of art, regardless of the medium, will always be the story.
Yeah.
No matter what the end result is, it's about, like, what was the story you were trying to tell?
It can be so simple.
Yeah, it's
and like I dated a girl with a kid, this crazy lady. She had a borderline personality disorder and all this fun stuff in New Orleans, and she had a kid, you know. Mm-hmm. And we watched Curious George together.
Yeah.
And like Curious George, you're watching the show, and it's like, oh look, a red balloon. Let me get on a boat to chase the red balloon. Oh, let me get on. There's a red balloon now in this car. Now I need a kite for the red balloon. Oh, now it went over the mountain. Now I need this. It was all. The whole plot was chasing the red balloon. You always knew exactly where you were at.
Mm-hmm.
The simplest story ever.
Yeah.
But when it's like a plot hasn't emerged in 30 pages of your script, it's like, it's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And someone should say something to you to make you feel terrible and go, maybe I won't hand in shit next time.
Yeah.
But then when I start talking like this, they're like, get out of the group. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What do? You can't do that here.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
No, I feel you. It's just some people just can't take the take that bluntness.
Yeah. But I know it's like, it's, I don't want to be like a jock about it. Like, mm-hmm. we gotta win, but it's like, dude, screenwriting is expensive, you know. If you print out a bunch of, let's say you print out 50 copies of a script, I mean, that's gonna be $400, $500, $700.
Yeah.
Now you're gonna mail them all to these people. It's like, if every word on all those pages, like, you're like throwing money away.
Mm-hmm.
If an agent opens the script, which mm-hmm. is very unlikely, but if they actually open it and then they start reading it, that is a miracle upon a miracle. And, you know, it's like, it can't be terrible. I don't know, man. It drives me crazy. It's weird because I would go in some classes at the University of New Orleans, and then, mm-hmm. like, you know, the class was cool with me, but sometimes the whole class would turn on me.
Yeah.
But, because they thought I was arrogant or whatever. But it's like, no, I care about this shit. Like, I moved to New Orleans, and I knew I was going to live there 3 years mm-hmm. to get better at screenwriting and stand-up. But, you know, that's all I cared about. You know, I'm not just waiting until I can have a daiquiri in my fucking hand. This shit's serious, you know?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Do you see a lot of fuck-ups in your industry, musicians, that, like, don't have discipline and it drives you crazy, like those rappers you were talking about, you know?
Yeah. I feel like when I first started doing music, I don't know how long ago, it was probably, like, 21-ish, 21, 22. There were a lot of musicians, rappers at the time that I knew. And I wasn't that good. I didn't really know how to play any instruments at the time. And it kind of felt like everyone was at a higher platform, higher level than I was.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody really fucked with me. But like where I'm at now, none of them are at this point. At this point, I think every single one of them have dropped out of music.
Mm.
Or if they dropped out for an extremely long period of time and they're trying to, like, pick it back up versus, like, myself. Though I wasn't all that great, I kind of stayed at it and stayed consistent as possible to try to get better.
Yeah.
And I can't say that for a lot of the people that I've known over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, that's really important. So how long have you been doing it now? Like, 10 years or?
Like eight or nine years.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So you're like, this isn't about, like, you might be better in this room today, but I'm on this mission.
Yeah. It's just at a point where it's just, I've come to understand that it's not a hobby. It's, I'm not going to let it go. So I'm just kind of going full force with it.
What was the song that you wrote and performed that was your first one where you're like, all right, that I'm living in my potential on this song?
What,
like,
do you mean?
Out of the eight of your, on your EP,
mm-hmm.
What was the first one you wrote that knew that you could get the other seven done?
Honestly, all of those songs were written separately. And when I finally just kind of put them all together, they made sense together. So that EP was never really planned. Those songs were just songs that I wrote over the years as I was going through the situationships. And mm-hmm. on top of it, I was just actually learning how to play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to, like, just create. Or create and also have that outlet. So the EP wasn't intentional. Like, oh, I'm going to make an EP and it's going to be about this. Like, they just kind of all came together. The concept came together. On its own, like, naturally, really organic. But I would say, like, the first song that I wrote that I just felt like was my best written song was the last track. It's called Superhero Love.
Superhero Love. And what's mm-hmm. the name of the EP again?
It would have all been different.
And mm-hmm. where can people find that?
You can find that on everything.
iTunes,
Spotify, it's on SoundCloud, Tidal, Amazon Music. It's literally on all platforms.
All right.
And you can find it on Instagram stories too.
Nefertiti Gold. We'll be back.
Nefertiti Gold.
Nefertiti.
Aww.
Tidy. Oh. Nefertiti Gold.
Yes.
We'll take a break and be back.
I had a magical day the other day. I saw a shooting star, and then I looked over in a tree and two bald eagles were falling in love. You know, it's magic. And then I look over and I see a Japanese man with a yarmulke, and I made a wish. Because how often do you see that?
I'd be like, everybody, let's keep this thing moving. Nefertiti Gold, welcome to the stage. Come on.
I mean, comedians are really fucked up, but musician people too, right? Because they, you know, they need attention, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I find that, like, there's two big things with comedians, especially because, like, the barrier to entry is so low. Like, they mm-hmm. just sign a list and then they get... So it literally could be a crazy person who's not, like, tried anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't really do this. This might just be, like, they need attention. They uh-huh. need other people in the room to regulate their emotions.
Yeah.
Like, that's the level that they're signing the list up at.
Mm-hmm.
Just a crazy person.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the balance between how much work have they put in preparation and how much attention do they need right now for having accomplished nothing?
Yeah.
Right? Because people, like, do you ever see that in the music industry? Like, people flex and they have the clothes and they have this and they have, like, zero talent whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But then it's just like, those particular types, I've noticed that they are able to travel with a large group of friends who gas them. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a bubble is created around them where even if they're not that good, they won't know it anyway.
Right.
Because there's a lot of yes men.
Right, right.
Like my best friend, excuse me, my best friend Abdul, he will straight up tell me if I suck ass.
Yeah.
He's never had an issue of telling me whether or not if it's trash, if it's okay, if it's, you know, all right, you did pretty good. Like he keeps it extremely honest. And then I have my other best friend, her name is Naomi. She'll always tell me I do a good job. So I love her to death, but I almost never trust what she says about any of my shows.
Right.
You know, because I need somebody that's going to be, that's, it's going to kind of almost, I need somebody that's going to kind of hurt my feelings and then be honest about my performance.
Well, it's like if they say you're trash at 100 for 100 performances, then you know that that's, that person is rude. Mm-hmm. But if they say you're good 50 or 40% of the time, then you're like chasing that. Oh, wow. If they say they're, it's good, then it was good, because they'll tell me when it's bad, when it's bad, you know?
Yeah.
What have you learned from, like, watching? Is it just the biggest lesson that you take from watching other musicians is just longevity? Like, you can't stop doing it because then your skills are going to recede?
Well, yeah, there is that. If you stop doing it, you're going to get worse. Because essentially, I guess the act of performing and singing, it's a series of muscles in your body. And if you don't use them, they will get weak. That's just what it comes down to. Unless you're, like, taking a break from music because you need to, like, reset in life and you just need to, like, go live life so you can get some new stories to, like, write about. But even then, I don't think anybody should ever really stop, even if you're just doing, like, cover songs. It's a muscle, and it's, like, if you don't constantly work it out and treat it as such, it will inevitably get weak.
Right. Like, maybe you don't write songs because you need to, like, live some life and have... Mm-hmm. But at the end of the night, there's nothing wrong with going through a book of songs and with your guitar and just noodling through and doing note for note, right?
Yeah. It doesn't hurt to try to write, like, 2 lines a day either.
Right, right.
You know?
For sure. Sometimes, for stand-up, it comes to me so sporadically. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's like 3 jokes in a day, and mm-hmm. then sometimes nothing for like a week.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, but it's just like I just have to see something, and almost like two things have to collide.
Yeah.
This juxtaposed with this. Oh, that's a fresh idea. You know what I mean? This analogy for this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a fresh. But I can't, it's like, it's almost like... you know, sitting on the toilet bowl. It's like sometimes you're just sitting there and you're heaving, you're mm-hmm. dehydrated, you know what I mean?
Do you go to working. Comedy shows?
Huh?
Do you go to comedy shows?
To watch? Just to watch?
Mm-hmm.
Almost never.
That would help.
Yeah.
I've had a really big complex myself about not wanting to see other people perform because I would be jealous. Like, you're up there and I'm down here.
Yeah, and but also, like, yeah.
You learn from your peers. It's
that's
kinda...
true. But I, like, go to comedy. Like, when I perform, I'll watch a bunch of comics there, too. So it's like...
You gotta watch the ones that are better than you and take notes from them.
Oh, sure.
You know?
There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah. It sucks to kind of have to admit to, like, you know, I'm not that good. But it's just, like, at least you can get better.
Yeah,
you know, there's still that opportunity to improve. Like, it's not like you're the worst and you'll never get better. You can. You just have to, like, be honest with yourself.
I do watch. I guess maybe it's like I don't, you know, it's a lot of money to go see a comic. It's this much cover. It's this much this.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think if I'm making that investment, then mm-hmm. I might as well go and perform as well. You know what I mean?
I guess that's true.
Just how I think about it financially, where it's like, man... But I do, like, watch specials.
Yeah. Because
that is a low investment. And that really, I mean, you're watching the best of the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, from the freedom of your home. And then sometimes I also, like, not I'll have a notepad too and like write while I'm watching, not like I'm copying, but just like, oh, that makes me think of this old joke. Yeah. I didn't know. It's like you can learn like moves, like chess moves from other comics. Like I didn't even know you could approach anything in this format. You know what I mean?
Body language and
yeah,
how to use like the microphone to make certain sounds. So,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
The story of the joke, because the whole point of the joke before you even get to the end is always the story that leads to it.
You ever think about doing comedy too, or do you just like the music thing?
No, no. Comedy is one of those things where it's just like. I feel like being a comedian is probably one of the hardest art forms, because it's not like you are looking for a very, very specific reaction every single time, which is the laughter.
Yeah.
Right? It's like one emotion that you're trying to trigger at all times, versus like music, I can write about whatever and trigger any assortment of emotions, you know? You're specifically targeting one.
Yeah.
That is like the heart.
And then it bombs and the host is like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't come here anymore.
And then if you don't, and this, I mean, sometimes like even in the audience, it's like, if I don't laugh, I feel bad. Like I want to laugh, but it's like, it's not funny. And then there's like that awkwardness in the air and it's just like, oh, I'm so sorry. It wasn't funny. I just want to laugh support you so badly. But it's like,
it's brutal. Like, especially when it's like packed, like any venue, it doesn't matter how big it is. Mm-hmm. If it's full and everyone's giving the comic their undivided attention and it's just nothing.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's horrifying.
It is. I commend you.
There's nothing noble about boxing. No, you learn, you know. It's like, so I guess it's like the boxing analogy, but like when you, if you get knocked out and then you're like sign a contract to fight again, you're like, man, last time I went out in a stretcher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My mom, like I woke up and there's like an IV bag in the air. My mom's looking over me. You know what I mean? I'm still cross-eyed for 4 days. I'm like trying to drink soup. It's like, blah, 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 blah. It's humbling. And then when you're in the training room, you're like, oh, this is life or death. Like,
yeah.
I can't fuck around. So I've like bombed this. I did a roast battle in Los Angeles against Brian McDaniel. Mm-hmm. And dude, I bombed so hard that they kick us out the back. They don't, they picked a winner. Yeah, they let him win. But then, I mean, we both were terrible. Yeah. We both were terrible. And it's like that feeling of like dread.
Yeah.
It's almost like a violent, like self-hatred, like it's like special. That feeling haunted me for weeks and weeks, where I was just like, oh my god, I was so fucking terrible. Why do I ever think I'm good at this ever? I'm terrible. Like,
yeah,
dread, just like waves.
Yeah, that's intense. I can't deal with that. That's just too much pressure.
Yeah, but that's why I'm crazy. That's why I have attitude sometimes with people or whatever, because it's like, dude, you don't fucking, I don't want that feeling again. I can't be shit at this, so I'm going to train like this is real, man. But yeah, I got to learn how to be like, I don't know. I can't like die on a cross for all my fucking arguments, because then I'm just a douchebag, you know what I mean? Like, I have to get along with other people.
Yeah.
But I also
want to, if you have like a friend of yours, let them handle the business side of it if you're not able to.
Well, there's not it's not a lot of emails coming through at this point.
Yeah.
But I shot a special. I'm waiting to hear back from festivals. So if I get into some festivals, then that's basically where my whole stand-up career is at. I made this great stand-up special. I made 3 30-minute specials.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just waiting to hear back from festivals. So if I get into like Sundance, or if I get into the Atlanta Film Festival or Slam Dance, then it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to show up. Hopefully some of the people that were in it with me, because some of my friends had cameos, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If they all show up and we show up and have a great screening and it gets a lot of laughs, then maybe we can get a deal for it. And then I was thinking about like putting it up on YouTube, but it's like, it's like it costs a lot of money. I self-produced it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if I put it on YouTube, it's like, almost like, yeah, let me just take all that money I made and like burn it. Like, you know what I mean? I kind of want to get some kind of deal for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to know what you're worth as an artist.
That's true.
So what's your business plan? Like, where do you see, what are the next steps you have to do? What are the next shows you're aiming to perform at? And how are you gonna get there?
Right now, I am predominantly focused on the live performances and just kind of getting out there to just be in front of the people and grow the actual fan base. That's one of the first steps. The overall plan as of right now is hoping to land another spot at South by Southwest in Texas this upcoming year, 2020. I have...
You've been there before and you had a good reception?
I did. I was there this past March and it was absolutely amazing. It's all a bug. It was huge. I went to Texas and it was absolutely amazing, and it's just the environment and just being around so many different artists from around the country and literally like from around the world. Like I've met like this Colombian rock band that was just the dopest shit ever. I definitely want to go back and I want to be able to seal like an official South by Southwest like stage, because the ones that I performed at this past South by Southwest, there was one that was off the strip and then I was featured in somebody else's set.
Right.
So hopefully for this upcoming one, I want to have like my actual
feature
solo
spot.
Yeah, complete right, right. Solo set. And I have a So Far Sounds performance coming up at the end of September that I'm really excited for, because I applied for it like months and months ago, and they have a thing where it's just like, if you don't hear back from us, that's because we didn't pick you. And I'm just like, well, I guess they didn't pick me, but
yeah,
apparently they did. So,
and yeah. Where's that venue? Where's
it's gonna be? Somewhere in Philly. The thing with So Far Sounds is like all of their shows are secret locations. You buy the tickets and you'll get the address the night before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much
like these pop-up shows in Philly.
They are, yeah, they're pop-up shows. No phones allowed. Don't take pictures. Don't take video. It's all about the music and actually just enjoying and being part of the musical performance community. You know, it's really just stripping away the bullshit and making people live in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to that.
That's huge. Yeah. That's huge. There's nothing worse than like doing stand up and looking up and like a third of the audience is on your phone.
Yeah.
It's like, why am I doing this body language right here? Why am I acting out my grandma catching
and
me masturbating?
And sometimes it's not that they're not engaged. They're kind of like, well, I took a little bit of video, but let me like edit it real fast and then get back to it. So it's like they're engaged, but still it's still like a halfway point. So.
But also, yeah, it's like that's also like, you know, I've been to Hawaii before, you know, and I was in Hawaii and I look over and I see this family is just like filming each other with their cameras the whole with their phones the whole time, and it's just like, you're in Hawaii, like put the fucking camera down, put the phone down, just enjoy it. It's like use your senses that are attached to your head, you
it's
know?
Crazy because like the world that we live in now, a lot of these families have extremely successful YouTube channels. So, like, you'll see a group of people just constantly recording each other. For all you know, they have, like, 100,000 subscribers.
Right, right.
You know, they're getting all that royalty money. So, it's like, you want people to be in the moment, but then it's just like, they're probably making some money.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a weird world.
I feel like we're, like, it's like splitting your personality. It's almost, it's like I have to live vicariously through the phone. It's like the experience didn't happen to me unless I report it immediately and then get likes or not get, it's like you split your personality so that, like, your sense of yourself doesn't come from, like, good deeds or conversations or situationships, you know? You're, it's all through like, oh, this happened, but then it was captured here, it was broadcast here.
Yeah.
Live your life. You're gonna fall through a manhole cover, you know? Look up when you fucking walk.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True.
Good Lord. Also with driving, like, you know, you ever, like, people are just like on their phone, like swerving in your lane, like, huh? Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Tough world out there.
Mm-hmm.
But also, yeah, I just think, like, if you're raised in a YouTube family, like, the levels of fucking malignant narcissism are just, like, on point.
It's a different world. I don't even know how that feels like. I don't know.
Like, things should be private, you know? Like, potty training and stuff. Like, things should... There's some things that should be private within the family.
Yeah.
Like, don't need to get broadcast.
But then there's people that are, that'll, you know, first-time parents, they'll be like, oh, my God, how do I potty train? And then, lo and behold, there's, like, 25 videos you can watch on potty training.
So you think it's good to broadcast everything out there? Or you just see both sides of it?
The thing is, because I've used the internet learn how to... I guess, to learn how to make music and learn how to play instruments. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible tool.
Mm.
I mean, it's always a toss-up because I guess it just kind of depends, but I don't know. I feel like if you're at least trying to have a healthy balance, then I think it's okay.
Yeah. You know? I wrote this screenplay called The Bonesman of the NSA, all about the skull and bones, and yeah, we should probably peep in another minute, but I read this book about the skull and bones by Anthony Sutton, and but you know, there's some things I forget, like how do I spell this? How do I spell Moloch or whatever? So when I was writing the screenplay, I had the internet open sometimes, so I'm like, oh, what was his name again, or what was that?
Mm-hmm.
How does the fraternal handshake of the skull and bones members work? So that when I'm writing it, it's like authentic.
Yeah.
But then it's like I'll get, you know, I'll look at five pages or whatever, and now I'm just like on the internet for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know? You get pulled in.
Harriman was initiated in 1913. His club number is D111. All the other 14 of D111 have died off. Avril Harriman is the only one left. To come to the other part of your question, who are some of the significant members? Today, two men stand out. One is Avril Harriman, who is the chief financial angel of the Democratic Party. The other is Vice President George Herbert Walker Bush. The Bush family is quite prominent within the order.
Yeah.
You know? You get pulled in.
Like, I've used the internet for songwriting purposes when I need certain words to rhyme.
The Rhyme Zone dictionary?
Yeah. But then a lot of the times, the Rhyme Zone will give me... I'll look up both the rhymes and synonyms and see how I can, like, restructure a certain lyric.
Right, right.
Based off of what I'm trying to say to make it fit a certain way.
Right.
In the song.
Yeah. No, that is... I do like dictionary. Dictionary.com, then there's Rhyme Zone if you want to write a poem or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is good. Because if you're like, oh, I can't get a word to rhyme with this phrase, so if I change the phrase by using this word, then instead, the syllables is different.
Yeah.
Then I can use, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you fuck with any, like, Pro Tools or any audio editing software, or do you let other people handle that for you?
I mostly use Logic when I'm creating. So that's the platform that I'm used to, like, working with. I barely have any experience with Pro Tools. I have no idea how to use Pro Tools. I'm not the best when it comes to, like, audio engineering. That's kind of a field that I want to learn more about, but on top of everything else that I'm already doing, it's just one of those things where I just don't have the time for it at this time.
Yeah. Do you got a full-time day job too, or?
Yeah, I do. I work at a solar company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a project manager.
So you got that, and then you got to be the best singer-songwriter in the world. Mm-hmm. Then you got to learn this editing shit.
Yeah, and then
you got to go.
Yeah.
Go get gigs.
Yeah, and respond to emails and. No basic stage setup for, like, equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a lot.
And then these extra motherfuckers are texting you, maybe we should collaborate.
Yeah. And then throw situationships on top of it, and you have a fucking whirlwind of shit.
Yeah. Like, I thought we were making music together, now we just have this awful relationship.
Yeah.
Where I'm just getting exploited for my love and good nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's do this gig and let me record one of your songs. And right, you know exactly which one I want.
I got you.
All right. Let's do it.
Hey, so hurt. Oh, girl, we should chill sometime. You're fine.
Mm-hmm.